Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert, also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, Cass Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thank you for waking up. This is the Michael Van Tool Show. Produced in cooperation with Community Highlights and Detroit Spiritual Ambassador Missionary Hattie Humphrey. I'm here with the Sunday morning team. Let's go through and check in. First of all, political analyst Henrietta Ivey. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Detroit. Good morning, Kim. Good morning, Sunday morning team.
And our lifestyle editor, Kimberly Batchelor Davis, author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Detroit. Good morning, Sunday morning team.
Trevis Colvin, our contributing editor. Good morning, Trevis. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. How are you? Good morning, team. Good morning, Detroit.
And we're just waiting for Evangelist Christy Laster to jump on the line. And as soon as she jumps on, we will connect her in. But it's great to hear everybody this morning. Before we do anything, let me just say, listen, guys, we got the hot seat today. If you missed the 7:30 show this morning on the Praise Network, I've got three people in the hot seat today, and it's going to be interesting, let me tell you. And then we're going to give you a little update on the show this morning, too. But first, I do have some notes. Of course, this program is brought to you by Combined Insurance and Jerry Anderson. Accident, life, disability, and sickness. The number to reach Jerry Anderson is 248-760-1532. That's Jerry Anderson at Combined Insurance, 248-760-1532. Trevis, you have a couple of more notes from us from our sponsors? Well, I do. The TCBC, the Time and Conference and Banquet Center, if you're having an event, a wedding reception, anniversary, birthday party, cabaret, a workshop, political event, any special occasion, you can book it now at the Time and Conference and Banquet Center. Hotels are getting booked up now for the rest of this year. And if you need the extras, like limousine, microphones, DJ, a caterer, event planner, photographer, call and ask them for those extras. Here's the number for TCBC. It's on the Detroit-Dearborn border, 313-588-0432. Time and Conference and Banquet Center, 313-588-0432. And
Michael? Listen,
yes, you have some. Great. You got some more notes for us?
I do. I do have some for you. Did your laptop or desktop just crash? Does your computer have a virus? You can fix it for less with Optima IT Solutions, and you can call 248-796-2429. That's 248-796-2429.
All right. Any more sponsor notes?
I do have one more. Do you have health insurance? Are you covered by an employer health care plan? If you are not covered properly, here's an affordable health care lifeline for you. It includes dental care, vision, prescriptions, chiropractic, medical care, hospital stays, and telemedicine. Safe, secure, board-certified doctors are available now. Please call 248-516-8300 or michaelv.savewithdiscounthealthcare.com. That's michaelv www.savewithdiscounthealthcare.com.
Great. Thanks, Trevis. All right. We've got news and weather coming right up after this short break. We'll be right back right here on the Michael Van Tool Show.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. Protection when you need it most. At a cost you can afford. Combined Insurance makes it easy to protect you and your loved ones by paying cash directly to you when you need it most. Whether you're looking for accident and sickness, disability, or life coverage, Combined Insurance has a policy to meet your needs and fit your budget. Call Jerry Anderson at 248-760-1532 for an appointment to help determine the best coverage for you. That's Jerry Anderson at 248-760-1532.
Hi, this is jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Life is to be remembered. Discover a funeral home that services your unique needs when your loved one passes. Chapel Hill Funeral Home has served the city of Detroit and community for the last several years, providing exceptional funeral and cremation services at an affordable price. This is a time to remember, honor, and celebrate your loved one. Don't wait. Plan ahead. Choose Chapel Hill Funeral Home, bringing hope, love, and healing from our family to yours. Experience a funeral service that celebrates life. Go to chapelhillfuneralhomes.com or call 313-340-8883. That's 313-340-8883.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is going
to
be all right.
All right, back in the news this morning. The Chicago chief of police had 10 drinks before passing out behind the wheel of his car in October of last year. 7 officers have been suspended for covering up and obstructing the investigation. The mayor of Chicago has since fired Chief Eddie Johnson. According to a report released this week, Chief Johnson, 59, was found asleep behind the wheel of his SUV at a stop sign. He had consumed several large servings of rum. Responding officers then allowed the chief to drive home. R&B singer R. Kelly was severely beaten in prison this week while awaiting for his trial on multiple sexual abuse charges in 2 states. Attorneys for R. Kelly want to question convicted killer and gang member Jeremiah Shane Farmer under oath about an August attack. Farmer, who has already admitted that he was the attacker, apparently roamed a great distance before entering Kelly's cell. According to Kelly's attorneys, no one at the Metropolitan Correctional Center lifted a finger to ward or stop the attack. Video shows Farmer sitting on top of Kelly and punching him into the head and torso. Finally, security pepper sprayed Farmer and pulled him off Kelly in his cell. The attacker said he was upset at all the attention Kelly was receiving and wanted to make a name for himself.
Wow.
Henrietta, you've got...
Wow.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Wow.
How sick is that? Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Very sick. That's some sick stuff. Okay. Today's weather. Well, you see, today is going to be a little cloudy and rainy with showers with a high of 61 degrees. On Monday, we're going to have some showers and a high of 52 degrees. Wednesday, Tuesday, we're going to have showers again, and it's going to be 55 degrees. Now, Wednesday, we get a little bit of a warm-up, with some clouds with a high of 62. Thursday, we got a little bit of a warm-up with a high of 68. And the rest of the week, you get some showers, but the high in the 60s. So it gets a little bit warm throughout the end of the week.
But it looks like, Henrietta, kind of a rain out, especially today, Monday and Tuesday. It looks like just a rain out these next 3 days here.
Yeah, absolutely. So have
your
umbrellas out, everyone.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Kimberly Batchelor Davis, what's in the news?
So, Michael, when you pass by a homeless person, have you ever thought that if you had an extra $7,000 that you could give it to them and that could potentially turn their life around?
Yeah, I've thought about what could I do if I had more. Yeah, I have.
Okay, so there was a study in Canada by a Vancouver-based charity organization called the New Leaf Project. They took 115 homeless people who were confirmed to not have serious mental or substance abuse problems, and they put $7,500 in their pockets to about 50 of them to see if they could turn their life around. The results were heartening. One entire year later, most recipients still had $1,000 in savings, and 67% were able to still feed themselves every day. The average age was the age of 42, with one in three participants reporting they had a child. They had been homeless on an average of 6 months, with one in four employed somewhere. They found that even a year later, many of them had $1,000 still left of the original $7,500 that they had. And after a year of spending on what they judged to be important, it was not alcohol, it was not drugs. Actually, that spending went down by 39%. And most people focused on finding themselves a place to live and getting themselves together. And so when the spending was spread out over a year, with 52% of it going to food and rent and 15% of it going to medication and transportation, an average of $700 purchases like a bike or computer, most people were able to turn their lives around. And so what it shows is that not only with programming like what we do at Franklin Wright Settlements, but with actual dollars in your pocket, you can actually help to turn someone's life around. And so this was a study that was done in Canada. Canada has a homeless problem just like we do here in the United States. And they wanted to do something to try to fix their homeless issue. And so this is the first step in potentially the right direction.
So they really appreciated it, I see.
Yes, they did. They did.
I guess it's one of those things that you finally get something and you want to hold on to it, and they really do want to make it better, huh? They didn't just waste it and splurge it away. Because, you know, we always think that they're going to just go down to the liquor store and buy a fifth of liquor, right?
Right. And they did not. They did not.
That was nice. That's a good story. That's a good story. I wish they would test it out with me and give me $7,000 and see how I, you know, just do it. I want to do one of those studies, you know, do a study like that.
Oh, you're not homeless.
Yeah, I know.
So, Michael, let me give you an interesting tidbit because, you know, with my podcast show, it's funny how when I saw this story, I had just done an interview. It's going to be released on Tuesday. You can find the Kim B. Davis Show on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. Andre Johnson, president and CEO of the Detroit Recovery Project here. He's a national leader. They do recovery here in the United States and in Africa. And one of the things that he said about addiction, many people who have addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol, typically have a mental health issue with it, which is why doing the addiction. So when we think about homelessness and when we try to quantify it with, oh, those are people that are on drugs or, oh, those are people that have alcohol, we aren't looking at the other issues, which is what I love about Franklin Wright, because we address all the issues in the entire family and try to give a holistic approach to the problem.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. And Franklin Wright, I was going to talk about them later, but I might as well say it now. It's Franklin Wright's Making a Difference Now, even though we're in this crisis mode right now. And here's some of the programs that Franklin Wright has. The in-home program where they do counseling, utility assistance, the food pantry, senior outreach services, Youth Success Academy, the annual college tour. I mean, the list goes on, and it's a great organization. Here's the number if you would like to contribute to Franklin Wright's, a nonprofit, 313-579-1000. 313-579-1000. All right, Henrietta Ivy, what's in the news?
Well, Michael, we are in the last few weeks of the election. We have less than, I want to say about 20 days, less than 20 days to go before the November 3rd presidential election, and it is hyped up out here. I'm telling you right now, there are people who are, we have been utilizing the early absentee voting, and that has brought a point of 10.5 million ballots received thus far and counting. People are serious. I've been talking to people all week, and they are ready for change. We have had lines around the corner in states like Georgia, Texas, North and South Carolina. And these people are up, and these lines are up to 2 to 3 hours long, but people are standing in these lines because they want to see change. Now, mind you, not because it is a very important race, we do have lines in the battleground states for on behalf of Trump as well. So it's running neck to neck. There was some drawback in one state where some of the there were some issues with machines going out. There are mayors who are asking to have an extended deadline for their absentee in these particular states because this shortage went out. Something regarding a fiber optic cord or something was cut or dismantled, which caused some machines to go out in some polling locations in the South. So right now, I am just, you know, pushing that vote. We're out here, we're talking, we're moving, we're mobilizing, and we're ready to go.
Great. And just a few more weeks left before this great presidential election. And for those, if you are streaming online listening, please make sure you vote. Vote now. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till November 3rd. If you can, vote now. Vote early. Because this is critical, and all over the country, Henrietta, I see there's a dramatic increase all over the country in early voting and just voting general. A lot of people voting this time, and I like to see that. I like to see all those numbers, the high numbers. That means people want to be involved and engaged, and I just hope that it's overwhelming on November 3rd, and we send a clear message.
I know a lot of younger people are voting. They are they're voting, and that's my biggest conversation in the community this week. And in the last 3 weeks, we're talking with younger people and the seniors. And the seniors who are unable to get out are getting assistance from organizations and family members to help them get their ballots in. But the young people are on fire. There is a lot of great commercials out that include the millennials and the newly voting people who are turning 18. So, let me tell you, the conversations that I've been having, you know, I had a few Trump supporters that was okay. I didn't make a big deal out of it, but the conversations I've been having is everybody is ready to for change. They're ready to get a new administration in, and they're not taking any chances, so they're walking their ballots in.
And I can't wait. I heard some Republicans even say it now that they cannot wait until a Biden presidency takes over, because finally we will take this virus seriously and we will start to bring these numbers down. The president is going around with these rallies, and these rallies are now super spreader events. And the numbers of infected people after his rally, wait for within about a week or two and see the numbers spike every city that he had a rally in. And we got to stop this madness. This is insane. Yeah. It's insane.
Well, you know, he had a post, a big old billboard that said Trump rally super spreader event. And I couldn't believe that when I saw that. I thought it was a joke, but it was literally a highway.
It was,
and people were going. They were piled in. They were piled in, Michael. And it was just, it's just unbelievable how 210,000 plus people have died from this virus. And we have a president who went in, who claimed he had it.
In this country.
Yeah, and he got affected.
And our numbers are higher than anywhere else in the world. So this madness has got to end. It really does.
Well, you know, he tried to accuse the governor. He tried to take credit for the reason why our state COVID has been going down. But, you know, just you still got some numbers coming in. But this man went on national TV at one of his rallies and had the audacity to say the reason why Michigan is doing so well was because of him and his people, I guess, confronting the governor and something to the effect where he wanted to take credit for the reason why our numbers would start to go down. I couldn't believe that. I was like, did he just stand up there and take credit for the governor's work? It was unbelievable. So, yes, it's definitely anticipation.
Yep.
The next 19 days, because I'm ready to.
Yeah, this nightmare to be over, absolutely. All right, team, I was up early listening to our replay from you know, we recorded Wednesday, and it sounded great this morning. Trevis, can you give us a little update on the guests that we had on this morning?
Absolutely. Listen, October is not only Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we were so honored and privileged to have Dr. LaDonna Combs, who is the CEO and president of Sisters Against Abuse Society, SAS. She's an advocate for domestic violence victims and sexual assault, teen dating and stalking. We were just in shock about the statistics of the domestic violence. Even since COVID, it has spiked at 43%. And so she gave us a lot of things that we should be on the lookout for. And I mentioned that, you know, unfortunately, most of us know someone who has been a victim or a survivor of domestic violence. And so we had a very engaging conversation. Some takeaways, she let us know that she talks with women and she has them write down, what do you want in a mate? What is your idea candidate? You know? And so when women would say things like, oh, someone that can protect me, someone that makes me feel safe, someone that's kind, opens the door for me, someone that's considerate, someone that's affectionate. And I was just shocked because she said, and those are all the signs of a person that of an abuser, excuse me. And we began to have dialogue about, you know, what to look for. And one of the questions that was posed I thought was very important: what do you do? How do you handle a situation when there could be potential violence from a mate, your husband? How do you get out of it? What do you do if you know a person that is in that? And she showed us the warning signs. But the first thing she told us was to immediately get them some help. You can't just jump up and say, oh, leave and go, because they're not going to just up and leave and go. But you want to get them some help. And she talked about how that when after, you know, the person has gotten married, you know, now they are just in a one-on-one away from everybody. And some of the signs to look for is like how they start to dress, the way they carry themselves, like maybe depression will set in or a certain sadness or a distance or quiet, you know, getting very quiet, not always being available, just able to go to work, come straight home if you're a working individual. And it was very interesting. I love the fact that she shared some light on it, because another question was, she's been doing this for 19 years. And the question was posed, as a person that has advocated for 19 years for victims of domestic violence, would you say that it's higher in the Black and brown communities than any other community? And she actually said it is. And so we begin to have conversation about that. Just very educating. I want to give out a number, though, because I know we're, you know, time is of the essence. And so if you know someone who needs help, here's a number if you want to call and get more information so that you would know how to aid and assist someone. The number is 313-693-9322, 313-693-9322. And then there's a website, sassinthecity.org, www.sassinthecity.org. And so if you know someone, if you want to get information, you can call that number. You can go on that website. They have a chat line 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. There are people available to give you resources and give you information.
Great. Thank you, Trevis. That was so detailed, and we appreciate that. And it was a great show this morning. I wish that you all were able to.
It was great. Oh, my God. Yes.
Early,
it was really
I'm
great.
Up early. You know, Henrietta, you said you was up at 6. You said you caught part of it, but I know Henrietta gets up early. But, you know.
I try to get up early. It was, and I was listening, and you guys came in really clear, and the conversation was really good. I was actually listening into that, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know. And when she just mentioned again about her this point, I was like, I didn't know that. Some of the signs were chivalry. Like, I was
right.
Like, so they've taken that and turned it into a bad thing. When I heard that, I was like, what?
No,
really?
No, they didn't.
I love all those
things. They didn't turn it into a bad thing.
Really
it's
really
already been there. It's already been there. It's,
yeah.
But see,
it's
my
already
thing,
there.
When I say that, it's like when you say, when I heard you guys were talking, I heard the doctor say that, you know, a person who likes to buy you things, compliment you and all that.
Yes.
I was like, wow,
yes.
I like all those things. So, my question would be to her was, inside of that, what are we looking for when we know? Because there's still some good guys out here that do those things. They're actually genuinely good guys. But when it comes to
that,
it's got
to
be a certain gesture, a certain look, something that gives an indicator or gives off a vibe that this person is not good. Yeah.
It's her control, and that was one of the things that she said. She when we, you know, because we of course had several questions, but in short times. And what she said was, "It's the control." So yes, and I'm like you. Who doesn't want someone to appreciate you and value you, and you know, you want to receive nice things? But what they do is they put their best foot forward. You get the representative. You don't get the real them. And so it gets
right.
to be like a controlling type of thing because, you know, I'm going to shower you and overshower you. And she talked about that overshowering. Just,
overshower.
I'm doing this
yes,
for you. I'm doing
point.
That
yeah.
for you. I want to prove to you that I'm going to take care of you. And it's a lure
mm-hmm.
to draw you into a place of being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not
mm-hmm.
careful, you can get
mm-hmm.
caught up in just receiving all of the gifts and everything and not even realize, you know, wait a minute, this is great, but let's see, let me back up a little bit. Oh, no. And
right,
just, I think
right.
it's important for us to learn how to say no thank you sometimes.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, when they start buying you stuff, here, I want to buy you this outfit. Here, you. I want you to look like this, dress in this outfit. Here's a new cell phone.
Forcing it on
I'm
me.
I'm
going to
give you a new cell phone.
That's the part I'll be looking out for, is that forcing
yep.
it on me. Like, if you're
yeah.
constantly trying to make me take your gift, I'm going to get nervous and be like, hey, dude, you need to go on because I got 10 kids and a dog, so go away.
And, you know, the one thing
right.
I want to say before we move on, the one thing I think that's really important, because at the end of the day, no one knows that they're going to be getting in a relationship with someone,
mm-hmm.
especially that smooth. Now, if right out the gate you're seeing signs of a raging temper and argumentative and
right.
everything,
mm-hmm.
but
yep.
for someone who's going to be really smooth and, you know, has the swag and got the game and just know exactly what to do, you don't think in your mind that, oh, we're going to be together and I'm going to be a victim of domestic violence.
Right.
What I would say, because I wouldn't know, I'm just going to speak for me, I wouldn't think right off the bat that that's where he's coming from. But what I am going to say is this, don't get so far in that you allow yourself to become a victim. There are still ways to get out of situations. And
right.
and she has so much information. I just think
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, we got
to
pray.
We're going to have to have her
pray.
Come on one day, too. We're going to have her
yeah.
come on. And maybe in the future we may end up doing that. We'll have we have a guest on Praise Network. We'll have them. We'll invite them here next too. So we'll get them both ways. And if we have a guest here, we'll put them on the Praise Network. So Great job. Thanks for referring Dr. Combs. It was a great, great interview and great information, and we definitely need to talk about this again for sure. Thanks, Trevis.
For sure. Yeah.
I'm going to have to put, you know, the Ohio Players, Fire. Remember that song? I'm gonna need a theme for the hot seat, and I think the Ohio Players Fire that's gonna be it. So
that's
I'm gonna try to have it
I
ready.
I love it.
And
Me
I'm gonna
too.
Try to have
I
it ready
it.
For next week. But I've got three people in the hot seat today. Okay, here's
gonna be an engaging conversation.
And I'm not, you know, Henrietta, you're not afraid to call people out, and neither am I. So here we go. First off is the sheriff from Berry County, Michigan. His name is Sheriff Dar.
Yes, call him out.
He refused to enforce Gretchen Whitmer's executive order and is a friend to the far right. He recently spoke at the American Patriot Council, and he's a friend to the militia groups. Can you imagine that? A sheriff who's a friend to the militia group. Yes.
Yeah. Why
the Sheriff's Association has denounced him, condemned what he is doing and saying. So that's our first person in the hot seat this morning, Sheriff Darleaf from Berry County, Michigan. In the hot seat. All right, number two, Detroit Lions coach Matt Patricia. The Lions cannot seem to win a game, even when we are leading. So the time has come now to remove the Detroit Lions coach Matt Patricia. His record is 10 wins, 25 losses, and one tie. He's been the coach for 3 years now. And we just came off of an 11-game losing streak. We keep losing games. We lost the last four consecutive games, and we had a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter. So it's time for Matt Patricia to go. The Detroit Lions, they can't win
a game. And hire my grandson, Jarrell Brooks, because he can run that team and make them win every season.
Our previous coach wasn't that bad, considered, you know, compared to Matt Patricia now. But I saved the last one for
the best for last.
And the last person in the hot seat, and I called off their names this morning on the Praise Network. We had the hot seat this morning at 7:30. The last one is Wayne County lawyer Nicholas Boback. After 39 years living as Nicholas Boback, he changed his name to Nicholas Hathaway. Of course, the Hathaway family is a political dynasty in Metro Detroit. And over the past 20 years, by blood or marriage, at least 10 members of the Hathaway family have served as Wayne County Circuit Court judges. I've even been friends with some of them. But to change your name 2 months before the election is kind of self-serving, kind of like almost like deceitful a little bit. He's married to Judge Dana Hathaway right now, who is a sitting judge. So now his name is Nicholas John Boback Hathaway. But isn't it strange that his election campaign is called the Committee to Elect Nicholas John Hathaway? He dropped the Boback on the committee name. But I'm just saying, it seems to be a little deceptive. You know, can you imagine people change their name? And Henrietta, you're a politician. You ran. You plan on running again at some point. What do you think about that?
I absolutely agree that it is a means to win a political seat. And I think this is what people need to understand when I say don't vote by a name. He intentionally put that because he know he could win a seat. That's that power. He shifted and took power to take a seat that he just, you know. I just think it's just dirty. I think that's a dirty politic. Keep the name that you've always had, that people recognize who you are from what they've been knowing you for. Why just get rid of your own last name and put in your wife's last name? It's different if you had done it from day one. It just would have been what it is. You just would have been a Hathaway, no problem. Hey, you would have been Mrs. Hathaway. That's not a problem. But when you do it in an election year, it surely goes to show that this is how politics is played. It takes away from the people who really, really deserve to run and win those seats that's going to actually do good in the community. I think it's dirty. I think that's a dirty thing to do. Why not just keep your name and just run fairly? Just run fairly. That's all we ask. Just run fairly.
Right.
Yes. Kimberly, what do you think about any of the hot seat people?
So I agree with you. And I'm gonna go back. So the Boback guy, that means that you have nothing on your platform. Nothing.
Right.
You have no message.
Yeah.
No message.
Yep.
Nothing. You are not of substance, which is why you are being lazy and entitled. Yes, I'm going to call them out. You are being lazy and entitled because you've married into a family with prestige and substance and some notoriety, and that you can't get that on your own. That's a whole nother conversation, but it is dirty politics. And it's the same type of politics that we're trying to root out of this country. It's the same reason why Trump got in office, because everybody just recognized his name from The Apprentice.
Yep.
It's shameful. And if people fall for that, you get what you get. And it's not trying to be harsh, but we have to get to a point in this country where we start to value the fact that we actually can vote people into office, that we can actually sit and talk to people, understand what it is that they're going to do for us, and understand what our needs are. We have to start voting for our needs and not voting based on, you know, personality. Oh, I like him. You can like somebody, but they could be a horrible politician. And that takes me back to the sheriff guy. I don't know if you guys have been watching, and I'm disturbed because no one is talking about the fact that there was an attempt by domestic terrorists. Let's call them what they are. They are militias, but they're domestic terrorists. And I've heard from a number of people over the course of the summer who are traveling around the state, who are in different places that we would not normally go. And I mean, they were in the more rural areas. And lots of them have very similar stories. We were out on a lake. It was a beautiful day. We were the only ones out on the lake, but we heard gunfire. And everyone has said it sounded like a training camp. This is something that is happening in the backyard in our state. And these people were attempting to kidnap a sitting governor. And then we find out they were even planning to kidnap another sitting governor in Virginia.
Yeah.
Trump was here yesterday up at Grand Rapids talking about lock her up and inciting it and talking about how he's made the state of Michigan great. And there are people that are actually on social media, all across social media, saying, well, Biden is a horrible person and he doesn't have values, and they're upholding Trump as having values and saying that Whitmer crossed the line and she went beyond her purview. But we're not having the fundamental question, which ties into what the last story was about, who Boback is. Who is he as a person? What is his substance?
Right.
What is he trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't stop getting emotional and caught up in their feelings because you like someone, we're going to end up being an authoritarian country, dictatorship. The United States would not exist. And by the time, and we see it in movies all the time, by the time people realize that the alien, the monster, or whatever it is chasing you, that it was a creation of your own invention, you're like, oh, we didn't know. But here's the thing. Now you know. Let's vote smart. It is crucially and vitally, and I use both of those words intentionally, to vote for our next president. However, it is also just as crucial and just as vital as you vote for your local candidates. That means your mayor, your city council people, your school board, your state senators, your state representatives, your national senators, your national representatives. You need to know who is running, because some of these people, are not in our best interest. The sheriff in this other county is not in our best interest. You do not, I repeat, do not say that you are going to kidnap and kill someone. If you are angry with a particular party or a person, you run for office, you organize. Am I lying, Henrietta?
You are absolutely 100% correct, Kimberly. I'm nodding my head to yes to everything you're saying.
It's sad that this is where we are. That it is okay that people can hatch a plan to kidnap, and if you and there are some videos out, and it's disturbing, so I have to warn you. But I watched a video yesterday from one of the conspirators. Their plan is to cause chaos and havoc in the country, and when there's a power vacuum, that they can step in and seize it. What does that tell you?
It tells you
there is a national something going on. We are in trouble, people. We are in trouble.
Yeah.
Far more.
Yep.
Right.
I said
far
time,
more
Kim,
than what
we
understand.
Yep.
We are.
I tell
we
people
are.
All the time, we are in deep trouble. And it's troubling because I sit up sometime at night and I just kind of just follow these outlets, these news outlets, just trying to note in my mind how to move, what to say to people, how to motivate people, get people engaged. And some of the stuff I see, I'm telling you, literally, God is my witness. I sit up sometime and I just cry and I'm like, wow. This is where our Lord. And it's so open. It's open. It is out in front of our faces. And there's people who's ignoring these signs, like you said, until it hits us in the face. And I don't want it to be that some of us is fighting and some of us are not. We all need to be fighting because those who are not fighting and you're black, that's too crucial to my life, your life, Michael's life, Trivia's life,
Absolutely.
All of our life, Christy's life. When we're fighting. We're working harder for everybody, and when we all see it. So you're right. We are in trouble. We are in deep, deep trouble. And I said all the time, if that man get back in office, I'm seriously trying to save up enough points to get out of this country. I'm so serious. I love everyone on this call, but if that man get back in office, Henrietta will not be in this state. I will pack up my kids and we are gone. I'm not going to deal with this. It's scary, and it breaks my heart because this is the United States. I lived here all my life, born and raised here. Detroit breeds, and I love this city, and I love this country. But I refuse to go into a country where someone can openly walk into my neighborhood and ride through my neighborhood and shoot down somebody, or I'm out somewhere just moving around Michigan, and I get accosted by some ignorant militia. I don't want it. My daughter's a police officer. She lives in a suburban area, and I don't want her or my grandson or her husband being faced with the possibility of driving somewhere and she get a call, or I get a call that some angry Caucasian person saw her and just decided to run her off the road or shoot in her car and get away with it. I don't want to face that.
Exactly.
So we are in trouble, and I think this voting season, I tell people I don't give them that part of my life or my fears, but I tell them in such a way that we need to be voting. Like, it's our life.
Yes.
And it's not just a slang. It's our lives truly depend on it.
The final debate between Biden and Trump is coming up Thursday. What do you think that's going to look like? Do you think it's going to be – we're going to see that combative chaos, President Trump again on Thursday? You know he's going to do something stupid. You know it's going to be crazy. What do you think it's going to – how do you think it's going to end up? Because he's going to do something.
I think he's going to continue to push fear. He's been pushing fear in everyone in his debate. And he hasn't pushed policy. He hasn't talked policy. He hits a little bit around what he thinks he's done and what he claims he's going to do. But he's constantly into that I saved the suburbs. And he's constantly pushing fear and hatred in such a subtle way. And I look at that, and I see Biden, who's really pushing policy, who's talking about change, who's talking about, you know, have a plan, showing the plan, breaking the plan down. So it's just going to continue that way. I think Trump is going to get a little maybe even more dirty in his last few weeks of campaigning. He's going to really push. He's going to really, 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 really push fear. That's my perception of it.
Mm-hmm. He will. He'll dog him. He'll talk about about Biden's dead son. He'll talk about his drug addicted son.
Yeah.
He will just launch personal attacks. he'll do his little sound bites, his quips, you know, and try to pull out information. I read an article late last night that said that Donald Trump saw some article on Twitter that said that they were slowing the news feed down about the negativity for Joe Biden. And it was from one of those satire sites. And he retweeted it. That's what he's going to do. He's going to say stuff like that. They won't be factual. And, of course, we know from the first debate, all he did was try to overtalk Joe, where Joe actually looked at the camera and talked to the American people. We know that I didn't watch the second town hall. I actually watched Joe Biden's town hall. And I was impressed with the fact that he was able to talk about the 94 crime bill, his participation in it, and what his expectation was versus what actually happened. And, you know, we've never heard anything consistent from Trump on anything. You know, you now are saying that Dr. Fauci should be discredited. Before, you were praising him. I don't know what happened to Dr. Perk. She's not even anywhere around. You know, who are we following? Who are we following? As I think it was Michael said at the top of the hour, COVID cases are increasing again. And if you guys think, we're the only state now, and I want people to think about this because this is the other reason why it's important. We are the only state that is not under emergency status right now because the Republican-controlled legislature in the state of Michigan sued to take away the governor's power. Now, the governor of Virginia is just as strict, but their legislature didn't do the same.
But his policies have helped and saved thousands of lives, so it works. She wants to protect the state and protect our lives, and it's just amazing that it. I can't even. Most days, I can't even believe the situation we're in right now.
Right.
In this country, you know they're being sued because governors like Gretchen Whitmer are saving lives.
Because you don't want to wear a mask. Because
you don't want to be a slave
to the government. Right. That's what it goes down to. This country is just as sexist as it is racist. It may be a tad bit more sexist because they'll say, well, but he's a man. But because it's a woman, if you're looking, if you love politics or study, my degree is in politics, and I am absolutely horrified by what I see happening in Michigan, because you're setting precedent. You're setting a precedent that you can sue a sitting governor in the middle of a pandemic. This isn't the flu. This isn't a cold. This is a pandemic that, as Henrietta said, has killed 210,000 people and disproportionately impacts Black and brown people every day.
That's one of the difficult parts of this. Many difficult pieces, but one of them is that African Americans and people of color are dying at a higher rate than any other group, you know, during this pandemic. Got a few more minutes. I just want to thank Poetic Justice for God for their support of the program. It's led by Detroit native Estelle Humphrey. She's the visionary and founder of this ministry that supports gospel artists. You can go to poeticjusticeforgod.net to check out some of her interviews of up-and-coming gospel artists. Also, Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. I have a list here of at least a dozen national awards that he's won from the top-tier lawyers, lawyers of distinction, a super lawyer, the National Trial Lawyers, top 100, a top 10 personal injury specialist across the country, and he is our major sponsor right here on the Michael Van Tool Show, the warrior lawyer, a personal injury specialist. If you need an attorney, number 248-567-9990. All right, with the last few minutes, I just want to go around. Let me just say, we are our member at large of the Sunday morning team, Latoya Sanders, and her podcast, Speaking of Love. I had the honor and privilege to be on Speaking of Love podcast yesterday at 12 noon. I couldn't wait to get home to replay it. We did a Zoom live from my office, and when I got back home, I listened to the replay, and it was a great interview, and it was a great to be on her show. And so if you all get a chance, check it out. Number one, listen to this morning show on the Praise Network. We'll have to run that again one day, because I don't have access to it at the moment. But listen to the interview on Speaking of Love. Trevis, you have your Friday Night Fire that you do. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yep, I sure can. Friday Night Fire is every Friday at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8. It is a Zoom. I send out invitations. I am next month going to go live on Facebook with it. And what we're doing is we are just giving scripture exhortation, and we are praying, because if it ever was a time for us to pray, now is that time. If there ever was a time for us to buckle down and really get serious and allow the Lord to strengthen us and seek his faith for guidance and direction, we're in that time right now. And so as the Lord had commissioned me to do the Friday Night Fire, this is what we do. So
and
I invite all
you,
of you, if anybody,
I caught one episode, and I see why it's called Friday Night Fire. You really have that spiritual fire, but that's what you need. We're in the spiritual warfare. You know, we all facing things, you know, I'm facing things. Everybody's facing things. They're stressed. People have been stressed. We're challenged. We're, you know, dealing with things. And, you know, that's why it's good to have a prayer life, and it's good to follow the scriptures. Thank you, Trevis, for Friday Night Fire. When is your next show, Henrietta?
Hi. My next show is actually going to be after the election. I kind of held back for this but it was going to start the first week of November, and I have an amazing lineup of community people that I've actually met during the course of this election, and I'm going to bring them on as speakers and panelists, and we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the course of this election. So it's going to be in first week of November, so get ready for some really good topics.
Great. And then Kimberly Batchelor Davis, what's your podcast, and when is it?
It is it'll be up Tuesday. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. You can also go on YouTube and look for the Kim B. Davis Show. It's youtube.com/ Kimberly Batchelor Davis, and you can check out all of my interviews.
I'm hoping, since everybody's going video these days, I told you guys earlier, I think I may do that. I don't know when. I don't know if I'm going to do it in time for this winter or the spring, but I think I'm going to do something like that too. First, I may do like a Zoom type of a thing. But I can't wait till COVID is over, because what I want to do is do a live and have it filmed, you know, as we do it, all of us in the studio. I can't wait for all of us to get back into the studio. And it seems like such a distant memory now. You know, it's like,
I know, it does.
We used to do this, Trevis. We used to all be together in the studio to do this, to do the shows, whether it's the Faith Network. And, you know, I started doing the podcast at my office the start of this, but it was not safe to continue to do that, you know, so we ended up doing it remotely the way we're doing it now. But I can't wait to get back to Sunday morning team in the studio with the live show. So one day One day we're going to get back. This is going to be over at some point. We're going to be looking back on these days. So if you've got pictures of yourself in mask and all that stuff, you know, keep the pictures, because we're going to look back and we're going to be telling our kids and grandkids, and they're not going to believe us that this happened, that everybody had to wear. I still can't believe it some mornings when I wake up and I still forget to wear a mask. Sometimes I get to the store or the gas station and have to go back to the car or come back and go get a mask, and you know, before you can go into places. I went to a restaurant the other day, and it was out. They had this little section where it was outside under a tent. And it's just, there's some strange things that we're never going to see again. Empty stadium, you know.
Yes.
That's hard to look at, to, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there's an asterisk for this season, for all the sports stuff, because it was, you know, shortened season, no fans in the same stands, or just a few, and it's just a very strange time we're living in. I always know when we were little, we would think about, remember, we always thought about in 2000, what's going to happen when the year changes from 1999 to 2000? Remember nothing?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Now we're in the
now
future.
Now we got it.
This is the future.
Yep.
We're here. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. We've got a president who is just a, I don't even know what the words to use, but it's just idiotic and crazy.
Ignite.
The situation we're in. And so the future is here. And just, we all know that the only way that we get through this and anything else is with God's help. And that is why we're here.
Amen.
So
amen.
That's right.
It's only through God's power. And he has the only power that there is that can confront all this. Thank God that we have God's power to fight back against all this injustice and death and evil and sadness. And that's God's love and his power. So we will end on that note. Thank you guys for being here, Henrietta, Kimberly, Trevis. We miss Christy Laster, Miss Evangelist Laster. I know she's busy this morning, but God bless you all. Have a great Sunday, and I'm just going to go out with this song. It's like, His Eye Is on the Sparrow, and this is an instrumental. We'll listen to this. God bless you. Thank you, guys.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Have a good week.
Bye-bye. Thank you.